And we celebrate that. There's a good feeling in the house of the Lord today. I think that the Lord would do something special for somebody if we would have the faith and believe that. Amen? Praise God. What a beautiful chorus of praise to go into the message with. And I'm almost about to tell my wife, let's close with that this after the sermon. I don't do that often. But I just believe we ought to bring it in with praise and take it out with praise, thanking God for Pentecost. Understanding the fact that Pentecost had plenty of cost, especially to our Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ. It cost him everything for us to have Pentecost. And we want to thank him and praise him for that. We don't want to take that lightly. Amen. I'm excited about Wednesday night. Those of you that have never taught a home Bible study, why don't you come and be with us? Take time out. Cut the lawnmower off. Cut the hedge trimmer off. Or better than that, hire somebody to do it. And come and be with us and celebrate. And, you know, to those of you that teach home Bible study, come and be with us. Amen. For you, it'll be a celebration. To others, it'll be a revelation. But to both of us, it's going to be a free meal. Hallelujah. And so we look forward to that. And I know Sister Mimi is gone, but what you might not know, we've got some good cookers left. And if it gets that bad, we'll bring Mimi back. Hallelujah. But Landmark goes on, and we have revival, and we're excited about what God is up to. While you're standing, let's look to the word of the Lord. I am so excited about being home, and I promise not to go into overtime, but I do promise to preach this morning and tonight. Hallelujah. I'm excited about it. And so let's look at Acts chapter 2. Verses 1 through 4. Some of us could quote that by heart. And yet, let's read it from the word of the Lord. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, I like that word fully, because it was like the Lord spent a lot of years bringing one day into fruition. We could preach a sermon on that. We could talk about that for a long time. And he lived his life for this day to fully come. And at this particular day, they were all, everybody say all. Amen. It wasn't a time out for the Baptist. It wasn't a day off for the Presbyterian. It wasn't a time of something else for the Lutheran. But the Bible said that they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound, everybody shout sound, from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. So when that sound went forth, when praise broke loose, it was as if there was a storm inside that upper room. I just want you to know, regardless of how you were raised or how you were taught, when we worship God, we're supposed to make some noise. And according to this scripture, the louder, the greater, the stronger, the better, that it becomes a rushing mighty wind. And then it filled all the house where they were sitting. It lets me know that worship is a little contagious. Praise God. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. It wasn't a literal fire. It was a spiritual fire. And they spoke it so vehemently until they felt and looked as if their tongues were on fire. And it sat upon each of them. And everybody said, all of them got it. Amen. So the word option is not there. The word volunteer is not there. Certainly the words not needed is not there. Amen. But the Bible lets us all know that they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues. Now, I want to preach for a little while, as simple as it is, the rite of passage. The sermon entitled, The Rite of Passage. Amen. Let's look to the Lord in prayer and ask His help and assistance. Master, we call upon You right now for Your will to be done. We call upon You right now for the perfect will of God, the touch of God, the anointing of God, and the Spirit of God to move mightily, powerfully, and wonderfully right now in this house. We ask You, Lord, to give us strength, to give us wisdom and knowledge, to celebrate this day properly. In Jesus' wonderful name. And everybody shout, Amen. God richly bless you as you're seated just now. Amen. The rite of passage. In life, in everything that we do, there are rites of passage. There are things that we learn as children that will be of great assistance to us when we become much older. Probably one of the oldest things in the book is bicycle riding. I know of not one, maybe one adult that does not know how to ride a bicycle. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, because that would be like asking for a show of hands for those of you that can't read. You would not like to do that. I know a gentleman that never learned to read until his old age, to the day he passed away. He never learned to read. But every day on his job, he would pick up a newspaper and sit down 15 minutes early before he was to clock in and turn the pages every day as if he were reading the newspaper, and never could. Just to make people think that he could read. And so, how many of you know how to ride a bicycle? Look at the pride. Just, oh yeah. And you know, you could go years and years without riding a bike, and then all of a sudden decide to ride one and jump on it and take off. How many of you remember the days of learning? I still hurt when I think about it, because my bicycle was oversized and I couldn't reach the ground. That was tough. And I remember cramming into the back of the truck. I couldn't do the brakes. I hadn't learned yet. And they just released me and let me go. And I hit that back of that truck. It was as bad as you think it was. But we get back on and we do it again. Why? Because to those that are teaching us, it's kind of something that you got to do to get on through life. It's a rite of passage. And so we learn to ride a bicycle. And the girls, you remember you may not because you were so young, but Mom remembers your first doll baby. Why would Mom want to give her little daughter a doll baby? Because one of these days, she's going to have her own baby. And Mom wants her to learn how to treat it, how to carry it, and that first baby, that first doll baby really goes through it, doesn't it? And it's slung across the shoulder, and it's tossed across the room. And Mom, no, don't treat the baby like that. And then before long, all the doll babies that are given to the little girls become souvenirs and items in their room that they nurture and take care of and put in certain places until the day comes that she brings her own baby home and it's nourished and taken care of. It's a rite of passage. It's something that you just feel you have to go through, or you have to take your children through for them to go through the rest of life. How about a rod and reel? I invited a gentleman to come Easter Sunday, and I told him, I said, I'm going to have a gift bag for you, and it's going to be very special for you and your family, and I want you to come. He said, I'll be there, preacher. I said, good. and I'll have your gift ready for you. And I really did. It was in my office. It was all ready. And he didn't come. Monday, I was laughing under my breath because I took that gift to him to make him feel bad about not coming. And he did. And within that bag, I found out he had a 7-year-old child and a little boy. And in that bag was one of those little Spider-Man rod and reels. And he wasn't there. He owns a store, operates a store there on 109. Many of you know Matthew. And I took that bag, and the lady put it behind the counter. She said, I'll give that to him. Several weeks later, Carson and I went by the store, and he happened to be there. And the first thing he said, man, my son has worn out that rod and reel. I said, really? Tell me about it. He said, I'm serious. He said, we found a place to crappie fish, and we go there. And he said, man, he has worn that rod and reel out. He said, we have fished until he gets tired of fishing and goes to sleep on the boat. And he said, he has literally worn that rod and reel out. And I was so glad, and it gave me a sense of pride, because a rod and reel to a young man, well, that's a rite of passage. You know? And it lets him know that he can do great things. And then we could talk about Nerf ball. We could talk about my sons. When I started them out, and I'm a little bit of a hunter, and I thought maybe they'd like it as they grew up, and I got them a little Nerf arrow. I can't tell you how many arrows I got in me from that Nerf arrow. I'd turn the corner and floop, and they were just, and then all of a sudden, I pick them up a almost real bow and arrow with the silver tip on it from Kmart, and then it goes into a real arrow. And I remember the day that I said, Carson, get ready to shoot. And Carson got ready to shoot, and I was filming him there, and I didn't know that Cody was drawing his bow and loading up and walking up, and by the time Carson released his arrow, Cody released his arrow at the same time, and I got it on film. Both of them, at about 20 yards, made an absolute bullseye. I was so proud. I've got it on film. You'll make me bring it tonight and show you. And it was just awesome. I said, no way. And I remember the day Carson shot the arrow. And, you know, your air conditioner that sits on the outside, the compressor, whatever it is, it's got those little tiny copper pipes. Yeah, he hit that dead center. And I wanted to go on something else dead center. It looked like my house blew up. And smoke everywhere. But he nailed it. And, you know, it's amazing how when they're young, they understand what that's all about. Where they're headed, you know. It was before laws were so regulated, I think. I might have been against the law, I don't know. But Carson was standing up beside me in the car seat, had his elbow on top of my shoulder, and was holding his little Kmart bow and arrow. Had the window down. We were driving in the country. He said, Dad, this is what he told me. This is his exact words. He said, Dad, he said, if I see a deer on beside the road, I will shoot that thing. I'm telling you, it must have been God. We turned the corner, and there's a doe standing in the ditch. He's got his little Kmart. I said, Carson, there she is. I stopped. She stayed there. I said, shoot her. He looked at me. He said, he was ready for the Kmart bow, but he wasn't ready for the actual event. That was to come years later. But it was the right of passage. He went through that, and now he's a hunter. We could go on and on about the rite of passage. Pentecost Sunday is today, but many people, including Christians alike, may not know why the day is special or what is so celebrated. Unlike Easter and Christmas, when colorful eggs, Easter bunnies, and Christmas trees and Santa Claus are those harbingers of upcoming Christian holidays and events, there are no such social markers by secular society ahead of us for Pentecost Sunday. For those who need a quick and a basic understanding of what Pentecost is, let me take a little time to explain. Pentecost Sunday marks the day when the Holy Spirit descended upon the apostles and the disciples in the upper room. Contrary to what Trinitarians and others display, it wasn't a bunch of people with their hands sitting down, with their hands open, flames burning in their palms, with their eyes closed, looking toward heaven. No, they were stomping and romping and making a lot of noise. And contrary to what you want to believe, they were speaking in that heavenly language. And there was a rushing mighty wind, and there was a power that fell, and it was the beginning of the church age, and the Lord was ushering in revival. I want it preached just like it was, because the Lord lived and He died for the day of Pentecost. Can you shout amen? Hallelujah. And so it marks today. Pentecost Sunday occurred 50 days after Easter. The Bible records Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. Pentecost comes 10 days after the ascension of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Pentecost is also known as the birthday of the church of the living God. I don't know why every church is not a Pentecostal church, since the church was born on the day of Pentecost. Some of them don't want to be recognized with Pentecost. But listen to me, nanny, nanny, boo, boo. You were born on the day of Pentecost. And you may as well celebrate it. You may as well believe it. You may as well expect it. There are churches that don't want to believe in Pentecost that are praying for revival. And every time a little purge of Pentecost comes in their sanctuary, they shut it down. Well, I've got news for you. You may as well stop praying for revival, because when revival comes, Pentecost comes with it. Oh, you say that because you're prejudiced, because you pastor a Pentecostal church. What other kind of church is there to pastor? What other kind of church is there to have? You're not going to have true revival until you have Pentecost. I don't apologize for that. I'm not preaching religion. I'm preaching an experience. You may be seated. There's people that come to Pentecost and they won't stay, because I preach that every church ought to have Pentecost. Every church ought to speak in tongues. Every church ought to be baptized in Jesus' name. Every church ought to have the Holy Ghost. And then those same people will leave. They believe that we ought to have it, but they don't believe that every church should have it and ought to have it. And it's mandatory to have it. And the reason they don't want to is because they're so overwhelmed by so many people that don't have it. If in fact everybody that came to Pentecost was not so overwhelmed by the ones that didn't have it and took the time to take it to them, we would already have every church speaking in tongues. So stop being overwhelmed by the numbers. Thank God Gideon wasn't overwhelmed by the numbers. Thank God Joshua was not overwhelmed by the numbers. Thank God Moses wasn't overwhelmed by the numbers. Thank God David wasn't overwhelmed by the numbers. But he took it to him. And when he took it to him, he overcame and victory came. If we're going to have that revival, the people that come into Pentecost need to believe in Pentecost. You need to push Pentecost. You need to speak Pentecost. You need to sing Pentecost. You need to be Pentecost. Can you say amen? You believe that? Somebody shout yes. Praise God. Pentecost is also known as the birth of the church of the living God. Amen. Hallelujah. if it was initially born that way, wouldn't it make good sense that it continued to be birthed that way? Amen. If the first church was born on the day of Pentecost, why is it not right for the last church, before the calling away of the church, to be born Pentecost? And the churches between to be born Pentecost. Preacher, where did all these other churches come from? I'm glad you asked. It was in Bethany that the Lord commanded his people to walk to Jerusalem and to go into the upper room to be endued with power. We know that that power was the gift of the Holy Ghost. He commanded 500 people to do that. How many people came out of the upper room with the Holy Ghost? 120, including the mother of Jesus. I like that part. Amen. If it was good for his mama, it's good enough for me. Amen. And so 120 people came out of the upper room. That leaves 380 that did not take that Sabbath day's journey. It took a whole day to walk to Jerusalem. They didn't take the time to make the walk. Out of 500 that were commanded to go, 380 of them did not go. That may be why there's a third of us that do, and there's two-thirds of us that don't. When they left company with Jesus Christ, here's the only thing that they could preach. Jesus is so good. He was such a miracle worker. He was so awesome. If you could just believe in him, you could just have everything you want. That's the only stuff they could. Love your neighbor. Love those that don't love you. Care for those that don't care for you. Notice, there's no talk about the Holy Ghost. There's no talk about speaking in tongues. There's no talk about the power on the day of Pentecost. Why? Because they didn't make the trip. I'm challenging somebody here today to make the trip. I'm challenging somebody to go from Bethany to Jerusalem today. Hallelujah. So you can walk away from this house with more than just something to talk about, but you can walk away from this house with an experience. It's time for us to outnumber the ones that don't. It's time for us to do it. It's time for us to receive it. It's time. If you don't believe it's the will of God for everyone to have a Pentecost, then why were we able to start a church with 12 people and in 23 years have the biggest church in Davidson County? Hallelujah. Why have we grown? Yes, even with our standards, even with our holiness, even with the righteousness of God, even preaching that you've got to be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sin, even with us preaching that you must receive the Holy Ghost, even with us preaching so stern and so hard the Word of God, why are we still the largest church and still growing and expecting to turn dirt this year for a new sanctuary? I'll tell you why. It's because Pentecost is the will of God. Pentecost is the mission of God. Pentecost is the desire of God. Pentecost is what God wants for this world. It is not an option. It is not another denomination. It is not another kind of church. It is the church. It is the will of God. It is the mission of God. It is the commission of God. It is the desire of God. It's the reason he became flesh and died on a cross for the day of Pentecost. Hallelujah. Pentecost fulfills Jesus' promise to send the Comforter and the Spirit of Truth, according to John 16, 5 through 15. He said the Spirit of Truth is going to come. He's going to come into you. And we found out that that Spirit of Truth is actually the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Right? The Pentecostal movement derives its name from the New Testament event in Acts chapter 2, verses 38 and 39. You want to read that with me? I love this scripture. I'm not ashamed of this scripture. And those of you that are ashamed of it, you're still sticking to things that people make you do. Why don't you come away from making people your God and let Jesus Christ become your Savior? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized. Some of you, only the Pentecostals, only those that go to Landmark, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of... We ought to celebrate Pentecost right now. I'm telling you, there's Pentecost in this house. I feel Pentecost in this house. I feel freedom in this house. I feel a liberty in this house. For those of you that have been baptized in the mighty name of Jesus, why don't you let up a shout for five people? Those of you that are not ashamed of the name, those of you that are not playing the game, but those of you that are not ashamed of the name, why don't you let up a shout for five people? Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise God! Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And you shall receive. You're going to receive. I promise you'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you. All right. It's to your children and to all that are afar off. It's to the Jew. It's to the Samaritan. It's to the Gentile. It's to the Chinese. It's to the Aborigines. It's to the Japanese. It's to the German. It's to the Russian. And to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That word of God tells me that everybody that the Lord calls ought to have a Pentecost. You may be seated. But let me tell you this. I'm going to go around you if I have to. If you're ashamed of the name, if you don't believe it like you ought to believe it, I'm going to go right around you and reach your mama. I'm going to go right around you and reach your daddy. I'm going to baptize your daddy in Jesus' name. I'm going to pray your daddy through in the Holy Ghost. You'll have to look back and say, wow, how did that happen? I'll tell you how it happened. It happened because it's the will of God. Why don't you own up to it? Why don't you just face up to it and start talking like a Pentecostal? Start acting like a Pentecostal. Start spreading the news, and we'll have a church twice this large next year. Amen. Amen. I can't believe all those folks are going to hell. No, they're not. If you'll get with the program... I can't believe people that aren't baptized in Jesus' name are going to go to hell. No, they're not. Because we're going to baptize them if you'll get with the program. If you'll stop laying around doubting, stop laying around trying to justify other religions and get your nose in the Word of God and go to work for the kingdom of God. No, they won't go to hell. They'll be baptized in Jesus' name. They'll repent of their sin. They'll speak in tongues just like you did. You feel like you're favored among people? You feel like you're better than anybody else? I say no. 1,000 times no. I'm lesser than a lot of other folks. But I've been washed and I've been born again. And I've been set free by the Spirit of God. It's not an argument. Don't you go fussing with people about truth. They start wanting to fuss about truth. You just look at them and smile and say, hey, I'm just telling you something I've got. I don't want to fuss with you. Amen. And you're never going to understand what I've got until you get it. Right? Amen. Hallelujah. And so you may be seated. Jews also celebrate Pentecost, but not for the same reason as Christians do. The celebration by Jews of Pentecost is to observe God giving the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai 50 days after the Exodus. The Pentecost in Jewish tradition takes place 50 days after the Passover. And so here it is. Many of the Jews are still living in the Old Testament. That's why they're going to believe in the Antichrist, that he is Christ. Because they don't believe that the Savior has come. Because they refuse to believe that he's going to be born in a barn. and they refuse to believe that he's going to give his life and become King of Kings. They believe he's going to set up his kingdom here on earth. Hallelujah. That's not going to happen. Why would he want a kingdom here on earth when the earth is just his footstool? Yay, I'm king of a footstool. God forbid people go to a Pentecostal church. Listen, in Western churches, Pentecost is usually represented with the color red. Everybody shout red. Turn to your neighbor and say, I see red. Hallelujah. Which symbolizes the fire of the Holy Ghost. Every time you come to church, I want you to see red. Because it symbolizes the fire that fell on the day of Pentecost. Amen. And so I'm just saying, God forbid that Pentecostals come to church and never see red. Don't call it a Pentecostal church if it's dead as last year's frozen turkey. That ain't Pentecost. I don't care how many times you call it Pentecost. One of my old buddies years ago preached a message called Pentecost. I guess that's what that is. When you can't clap your hands and you don't feel the unction of the Holy Ghost and there's not a rushing mighty wind, that is Pentecost. Hallelujah. But we need Pentecost. Amen. We need the fire no matter what it costs. The fire has got to be there. The fire must be in the house. Why? Because fire burns things out. Fire burns things away. Fire purifies. We burn the end of a needle before we take out a splinter, right? Fire ushers in fresh. I was warned that I was inheriting a burned over field when I desired to come to Lexington. Just beware, Brother Marshburn, that church has been there a long time and it's never run much over 25, 30 people in any given time. Mostly Easter is when they'll have 30 or 40 people or so. And that's about all they've run. And it's been there probably now about 17 years. And so just be warned that you're taking over a burned over field. Number one, I was highly offended. And then number two, I was highly excited because I came from the country and I remember the old days when they would burn over a leftover field in preparation for the new one. And when that field would burn, you wouldn't just see smoke, you saw the flame. Hallelujah. And so I just ignored what they had to say. And all I could see was a fire burning in a field that was ready hot, red hot for revival and a mighty move of God. Thank God for faith-filled folks that understand the concept of apostolic revival. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm mad and I'm not going to get glad until I get it off my chest. Praise God. And you're not supposed to come to the pulpit and talk about pastors, but I am. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm looking at them right now, and I'm not going to call names, but I feel like going to them and shaking them until their eye teeth fall out and just making them say, revival. Say revival. I said, say revival. Say, move of God. Move of God. Say, the Lord can do it for us.
Lord can do it.
I'm going to shake you till you die if you don't say it. I've rubbed elbows with them. I've known them for years, and I have not heard them say the word revival once. I've not heard them say refreshing once. All I've heard them talk about is how bad it is, how horrible it is, and how somebody said, preacher, have you ever wanted to resign your church? Well, how many Mondays are there in the year? Well, I want to shake you until you get Monday out of your mind and get Sunday back in your heart and have revival. Pentecost Sunday should be every Sunday. Revival ought to be every week. You're not going to have it because you don't preach good or you preach good. You're not going to have it with your personality. You're going to have it because it's on purpose. You've made up your mind. Say revival. Say revival. Say revival. Say harvest. Say refreshing. Say church growth. Woo. Thank you for putting up with that. I feel better. But I'm not done. Hallelujah. I'm not finished. Amen. Hallelujah. They get the notion that they can grow a church on other people's saints. They're constantly reaching out for them, grabbing them, pulling them in. And what you wind up with is a church filled with multiple church cultures. That's never going to work. It is never going to work. Hey, you would never survive in a church like I'm talking about. And chances are, people that have lived in those churches for 50 years might not survive here. Because we're going to burn them up. So chances are, you might ought to stay where you've been born. You might ought to worship God where you got born again. You might ought to make up your mind that, bless God, come hell or high water, I'm going to live for God right here at Landmark. And I'm going to raise my family. And we are going to live for God and serve the Lord and have revival. Amen. We invite anybody that wants to come. Amen. Occasionally, there's going to be people that come. Hallelujah. I'm not a native of Lexington. Thank you for accepting me. Hallelujah. And there will be others that are not native of Lexington. Praise God. And you're going to bring stuff. But I'm just going to tell you, we're going to preach against that, about that stuff. And we're going to burn some things away. And hey, if you go in the rapture, don't be surprised that you go in the rapture a different person than when you came to Landmark. Why not? Let's have revival. Let's have a move of God. Let's get the right attitude about one another. Let's love one another. Let's pray for those that despitefully use us. Let's be Christian. Let's be apostolic. Let's be disciples. Can you say amen? Thank you. Now I'm better. And I shall go on. Praise God. Fire has got to be there. Fire purifies, burns. Hallelujah. Fire gets rid of all that's not like God. Hallelujah. Fire ushers in fresh. Praise the Lord. Amen. Maybe I did get a burned over field, but it's growing good now. Hallelujah. Maybe that's what it needed. Praise the Lord. Pentecost is an eye opener. Without it, there are things you just cannot see. Amen. I remember the prophet of God looking at his little minion, and his little minion looked at him. He said, Lord, he said, brother, I'm looking out there, and there's more against us than there are with us. And the prophet said, really? Lord, just give him a peek. And so he looked out. He saw the angels of God round about and said, oh yeah, I got it now. That's the way it goes with Pentecost. You receive it, and then you say, oh, I'm seeing stuff now. I got it. I get it. I had a man at Lanier's tell me one time. I said, hey, I know you. You visited our church. He said, yep, but I'll never be back. I said, how come? He said, you guys are nuts. You're crazy. I wanted to cry because it's sad that someone never taught him about Pentecost. They taught him how to lose his hot dog mustard on his neighbor at a ball game. They taught him how to get chili sauce on everybody, and they don't care either. Yeah. And come to church and look like a wooden Indian. Hello? Poor old Elijah that never got a kiss. I'm just saying. Amen. Pentecost is alive and well. And there are just some things that you'll never see, some things that you'll never sense, some things that you will never feel until true, real Pentecost comes. Amen. Hallelujah. And so we need to let the fire burn. Can you say amen? Praise the Lord. Why shout? You'll see that when Pentecost comes. Why do you dance? Well, you'll see that when Pentecost comes. Why do you weep sometimes and yet you look so happy It's tears of joy, but you won't understand that until Pentecost comes. Why do you run? Look like you're chasing one another. Hallelujah. You won't get it until Pentecost. Why do you speak in tongues? It's a hidden language from my adversary. It's a Morse code, if you will, between me and God. You don't believe that? Well, then why did he say that when I pray, and I don't even know what to pray for, that the Spirit will make intercession for me? That means the Spirit is saying something I don't even get, but God does. Beep, 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 beep. I need something down here, Lord, and he's pouring it out. Amen. It's my spiritual Morse code that only God can get. And when he gets it, he pours it out on me and gives me something that this world does not have. Amen. Praise God. Have you noticed that real Pentecost? I don't mean to get into all this, but here I am. Real Pentecost. It's like when you really worship the Lord, and when you're really in the middle of Pentecost, it's almost like you're braced like a warrior. You ever felt that? You worship God, it's like, yeah! Now, that charismatic thing that's out there, have you noticed that? It is like some coffee that I know. I do not like frothy coffee. Now, some of you guys do. That's okay. You carme mocha or whatever it is. Caramel smoka. You want a Butterfinger floating in it and I just want coffee. Just coffee. But that's they want their Pentecost frothy. And you could tell a difference. There's such a difference. I'm just saying, you know, that charismatic thing. Here. Get your man's voice. And I've seen it get so strong they roll their eyes out, you know, and you don't see nothing but highball. And hey, no. Come on down and get the Holy Ghost. And when you get up, you're just going to... When the real Holy Ghost is moving, they're not. When the real Holy Ghost is going, they're watching you looking. I challenge you in the name of Jesus Christ to receive the gift of Pentecost. Let's raise our hands and worship together. Hallelujah. Why we shout, why we dance, why we weep and run, why we speak in tongues. My God. Pentecost to me is power. Pentecost to me is authority and dominion. It's not compromise. Acts 1 and 8 says, "You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, powerless without it." We are powerless without the Holy Ghost. Pentecost is a certain sound, and it is a certain sign. Amen. Tongues is the sound, and it is also the sign that says, "I've got it. I've got it." Everybody needs a Pentecost. Access to truth, miracles, signs and wonders, power, proof and evidence. Some may be under the weight of deep sin and trouble. Let a Pentecostal experience dig you out, rescue and save you. Sin is like a tsunami, a flood tide or massive storm of destruction and distraction. Pentecost is your lifeguard. It's amazing how something so free can become so valuable or looked over. Amen. You've visited places, I'm sure. You've gone on vacation, and that's fresh on my mind. I just got home. And you go by counters, and on those counters there's brochures by the hundreds. How many of you get every one of those brochures and walk away reading them? I never did. My wife picked up one. I tried to read it and I couldn't. But when we got home, who winds up with the brochure? Cooper, my grandson. He's got it with him today. He will not let it go. We tried to take him to eat last night and to get him to go from the car to the restaurant for a few minutes without the brochure, and he cried. And this morning, he walks into my office and he's got the brochure. And he said, "Pop, fix it. It's coming to pieces. The pages are falling out. I just so happen to have crazy glue because I fixed something in the girls' restroom with it last week. That little curtain that goes around the sink keeps falling. I fixed it. It got on my nerves. And so I had crazy glue. And I took that crazy glue and I fixed the pages. And he looked and looked. And so I got it fixed. I gave it to him. He went to his dad. He said, "Daddy, I fixed it." He needs the Holy Ghost. And then he said, "And Pop fixed it." But he still got his brochure. It was free. But yet, he holds it so valuable. So many of us walk by the things that God has to give because we can get them anytime we want them. But just because you can get it anytime you want it doesn't mean it's less valuable. There's going to come a day you're going to want it and you're not going to be able to get it. So you need to get it while the day is at hand. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Don't you let this day pass you by. Somebody help me lift up the name of Jesus right now. And let's get the Holy Ghost moving in the house. Because somebody needs to, they need their initiation into the revelation of the power and the authority of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have the rite of passage. You have the rite of passage. Amen. Repentance. That's the first thing you got to do. Baptism. That's only the second thing you've got to do. The Holy Ghost. That's only the third thing you've got to do. That's elementary. You get that, and you've gone through the rite of passage. Everything else begins to flow. Everything else begins to come into place. You begin to grow. You begin to mature. You begin to feel callings. You begin to feel election. You begin to find your place. You begin to get coordinated. You begin to... Oh, this is getting good. Hallelujah. But for those of you that continue to sit back and to deny the fact that you need to repent, that you need to be baptized or filled with the Holy Ghost, you're not even on first base. Hello? Hello? I'm challenging somebody to not just let this be that day of Pentecost, but let it be your day of Pentecost. Your initial day that you received it. Your initial day that you believed it. Your initial day that you got involved with it. That you let it cover you, saturate you, and permeate you. The day you spoke in tongues. The day you went down in your watery grave. Somebody help me praise Him. I'm telling you, there are things you want and need from God that you will never come to until you go through. The Lord loves to give, and Pentecost is one of the greatest gifts. John 4, 13 and 14. You are one of the whosoever will. You're one of those. I was one of those. Look at it in John 4, 13 and verse 14. Praise God. Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again." You drink of this natural water and you will get thirsty again. However, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Those of you that have that well, start singing, "Spring up, oh well, spring up, spring up, oh well, spring up." It was in the Old Testament when they came to a dry place that their leader told them to sing, "Spring up, oh well." If you're in a dry place and you're apostolic, you need to be singing right now, "Give me back my Pentecost. Give me back that well spring of water, that water that I initially drank, that I would never be thirsty again. Come and drink. Receive the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost will receive you. Find the Prince of Peace, and the peace will come from the Prince." Who can have this? Acts 2:39 says, "For the promise is unto you and to your children." It is a rite of passage. You've got to pass this before you pass anything else. You can't get into church without going through the parking lot. And you can't get to the book of Romans before you go through the book of Acts. So forget Romans until you go through Acts. Hello? I just wonder today, while the church is reaching out, hallelujah, if there's anybody here that needs your Pentecost. Anybody here that needs your Pentecost? Anybody here that needs that renewing? Anybody here that needs that refreshing? I would like to ask some key men to step out and just begin to worship the Lord in your Pentecost. Begin to praise God and set an atmosphere of a rushing mighty wind. Set an atmosphere that someone could be filled, that someone could be marvelously filled with the Spirit, marvelously filled with the power, marvelously filled with the anointing. Come on, somebody set the stage for the miracle. Somebody set the stage for the anointing to break the yoke right now. And then somebody step out that needs Pentecost. Somebody step out that needs this Holy Ghost. Others, be sensitive to the Spirit and pray with somebody. Reach out with somebody and believe God with somebody right now. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. Yeah. Come on. Every prayer.
Every face is to us.
somebody in a grand finale. Today is our day. That's another way of putting Pentecost Sunday. It's our day. And we may not get another day, and we may not get another chance. I wonder if somebody could give it 10 seconds of everything you've got and just let the Lord know we're still here to celebrate Pentecost. We're still here to celebrate that day. That day you lived for. That day you died for. That day you committed yourself for. Oh.